Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Now, talking movies, The Unforgivable. It's a new Netflix movie starring Sandra Bullock and Rob Morgan. In it, Sandra Bullock plays a woman called Ruth Slater, released from prison after 20 years for killing a police officer who was sent to force her eviction. On her release, she desperately tries to find her younger sister, Catherine, who was put up for adoption after Ruth was sent to jail. So Rob Morgan plays Sandra's parole officer, Vincent Cross, in the movie. So I spoke to Sandra Bullock and Rob Morgan recently, and I'll bring you a little bit of that after we hear a clip from the film itself. It's The Unforgivable on Netflix.
Does your release alter the terms of your no contact order?
You don't have to give me a speech. I'm looking for Katie. She's my little sister. I raised her. Okay, next time, don't drag me through three bus transfers to tell me something you already know.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Sandra. How are you?
Hey, Dave. We're great.
How are you?
Good. Good. Now, listen. This movie has been described as you well know, a complex character drama wrapped up in a murder mystery. But actually, to me, it's a murder mystery wrapped up in a kind of a complex character drama, because the murder mystery, let's just say there's 100 pieces of a jigsaw. We get about 10, then we get 10 more, and they're all flashbacks. I don't know what's going on half the time. Why are we seeing this in the way we're seeing it? And then finally, eventually, you go, ah,
yeah,
pretty good.
Yeah, that's the hard part, right? I mean, in editing, it was like, do we give this little piece? Does this give too much away? What's the order? Should the order be in order? Should it be out of order? But when we have memories, they happen at the most bizarre times. There could be a food that reminds you of something. Memories don't happen chronologically, period. They just don't. And I think that helps us stave off the audience being ahead of us at any point, which I think, yeah, I feel we were pretty successful in doing.
Absolutely, because I mean, again, you know, you don't necessarily know. I'm going to say this because I hope I'm not giving something away, that it's a whodunit. Really, it is. It's the flashbacks that eventually tell you what's going on. I didn't even know it was meant to be a whodunit.
Yeah.
So, Rob, your point is, like, you have a job to do. You actually are quite nice to Ruth Slater, in other words, Sandra's character. You want to be nice and you want to be helpful, but the rules and your experience in this job will tell you that actually, don't kid yourself, Mrs. This is not going to be easy. One mistake and you're gone. Isn't that it, really?
That is it. The recidivism rate is real.
Yeah.
And I was focused on keeping Ruth Slater out of jail. You know, I wanted to give her the blueprint. I saw something special in her. At the same time, I couldn't, like, you know, invite her out for a beer. You know, that's a very, very serious line that the CO/POs have to walk, you know, with the person being reintroduced back into society, because oftentimes being reintroduced back into society can be a challenge with the lack of resources. So I am the lifeline to Ruth Slater. So
yeah. Indeed. Now, you're not there for the scene, so I'll ask you this one, Sandra. Like, you go looking for your sister. That's what happens in the movie. You're 20 years in jail. It's made you kind of ill-equipped, if I can use that phrase, to deal with the situation. And when you're there with the couple who had, you know, I won't give too much away, sitting across the table, the hatred, the anger, the bitterness, the sorrow, they take over. You're just not good enough. You can't do it. That's what 20 years in jail has done to you, isn't it?
Yeah, the thing that I found really profound when we were talking to women who were both in prison and women who have been released was the longer you're there, so much happens in our world. It's such a rapid rate. The sound, the anxiety when you're in prison, there is a structure. There's a daily structure. Everything is taken care of for you. Everything. You are told what to do, what to eat it, when to shower, when to sleep, when to behave, you know. And then you are released into the world with absolutely no support system, unless you happen to have lucked into a charity or a group of people who make it their time and their purpose to help you deal. That is few and far between. So basically, 20 years in prison, you come out into the world, you don't know how a phone functions. You don't know what the rules are. No one's telling you where to do it. You're given $40, $40 in some used clothing. How can you function in this day and age on $40? No idea how a bus system works. And you have only one thing on your mind, which has been the only thing on your mind for 20 years, which is, I need my family, the only family that I have left. And yet you are the reason that family was taken away from you. What do you do?
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, I mean, currently there's a huge court case that's taking over America in terms of they have to decide a jury if the actions were reasonable of a 17-year-old boy who did whatever he did in Kenosha. But the point about that is there's a gun at the beginning of this movie that is a huge part of what the movie is. Like, there wouldn't be the story without the big gun. There's a little gun later on in the movie as well, which is one of the most traumatic parts of the movie. Do you ever think and see, like, outside of America, we're looking over at the Second Amendment and we just go, what's going on over there? Do you ever think this is just crazy?
But it's pain. It's fear. It's absolute fear. And the thought that nothing else will help except the gun. You know, yeah. it is, there's a lot of craziness, and it's not just here. It's all over the world. It's absolute fear. And the divide between the have and have nots is what is, I feel, lighting the flame. And, you know, we're representing the world, poverty. I was lucky in that we weren't affluent, but I was white when I was born. I can't control that. I had a family that were artists that somehow made a dime to have a home and a roof over our heads and clothing, and not a lot, but we were fine. I didn't have to think about things like that. Now that I know, you can't unsee it. And we chose to tell a story about those people who sacrifice every single day, and no one glorifies them. No one pats them on the back. No one says, good job. You sacrificed for your child. Amazing job. No one says it. And so you have this divide that within a pandemic has just been gaslit. We don't talk to each other. And more importantly, we don't listen. We don't listen. We're just scared and isolated.
And so the message is empathy is what you'd like more of for ex-prisoners who are massively disadvantaged when they come out.
Massively, massively disadvantaged from the second they're born.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, well, Sandra, thank you so much for talking to us. Congratulations on the movie. And Rob, thank you also. Brilliant. Well done. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.